Welcome to Extreme Gaming Podcast, episode 248. Today is October 3rd. We got a whole lot to cover and stuff like that. Glad you could join us. Trev couldn't make it today. He's got some stuff in real life to do. But I am joined by my compadre, Matt. Take it away.
Hi, I'm Matt, also known as our Irish Guardian. I nearly said Irish Gamer then. Wee.
That would be good too.
I haven't even drank yet. Oh, dear. You know what? I came up with an idea. When Trev goes away, what we should have is like a little puppet haggis with a can of cider, and then just have that on a camera.
There you go.
Yeah.
Or we'll take like one of Trev's t-shirts or whatever that he wears and put it over the haggis too.
So it looks a little more like him.
And then we can even put a little thing underneath, like we have our little byline there with our name, and we'll just say, you know, Trev Haggis.
Mini me.
Yeah. Mini me. I like that better. Anyway, to get the paperwork, as you say, out of the way, please join up our Discord, discord.gg/extreme gaming podcast, which is all one word. That's discord.gg/extreme gaming podcast. If you forget that, just Google us, Extreme Gaming Podcast. You'll bound to find the Discord. If there's any questions that you want us to talk about, ask about, whether it's gaming or technical or hardware or whatever it might be, or just anything for that matter, go ahead and just post it in our Discord and or submit it to the email address, extremegamingpodcast@gmail.com. And we will try to get those questions on and answer them for you. We do have a gaming Twitch stream that we try to do as many Wednesdays as we can. It's a little tough to do it every week, but we do our best. Also, you can catch us on all the socials, as you kind of are now. We're on YouTube broadcasting live now. We're on Facebook. We're on TikTok. We're on X, otherwise known as Twitter. We're broadcasting there too. So, yes, we're on all the socials, and you can pick us up there or write to us or whatever you want to do. So there's been a bunch of different things going on in the gaming world. There's always some kind of fun or controversy or whatever going on. So we're going to get kind of like right into it. One of the things I wanted to cover first is, if I can get up my information. There you go. Okay. I was looking for something.
Woo.
Horizon New Dawn, if you didn't already know this, is getting a total remaster of the original game, which is Horizon New Dawn. It's going to be coming out, I believe, at the end of this month, if I remember correctly. I took a look at it because I'm a huge Horizon Zero Dawn fan when it first came out, as well as Horizon, the sequel. And I was excited to hear that it was doing a remaster, but I don't usually get that excited about a remaster because, generally speaking, it's nice, but they don't really do a whole lot to it. So I was kind of like, why would you want to spend the money on something you kind of already have and already had fun with? But in this case, it's a little bit different. And one of the things that I was impressed, October 31st, by the way, is when it's coming out. And that'll be on PlayStation and PC. And one of the things that impressed me is that they actually not only remastered it, but they also went in and changed a bunch of, or added a bunch of stuff. There's new conversations, so actual you know, the cinematics that have new conversations going on with the characters that were not there before. I heard that there was something up to almost 10 hours of new mocap conversations added into it. There's different cameras for dialogue, so you'll be seeing a different angle than you did before. There's also going to be actual new dialogue put into the game as well. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty good for a remaster. There was one scene I saw, Matt, that was pretty cool. They showed on YouTube a left and right screen to show you the differences in the original and the remaster. And there was a scene where one of the mechanical dinosaurs was running after Aloy. And in the original, she's running on ice, and so is the creature. And she basically reaches the end, and she, you know, hops onto the snow and pretty much hauls butt to get out of there. This one was different, though, and this one where they changed is as she was running down, the mech dinosaur or whatever, or creature, actually slid across the ice and then did a 180 and was facing her.
Yeah.
It looked really good. I was sitting there going, yeah, like, wow, that's kind of cool. And then all of a sudden she takes out the bow and blasts it, you know, all in one motion. Like, and I thought, I was like, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then when I went actually into the actual graphics that they did, they overhauled the character models, which was not just going in there and messing with textures and stuff like that. They went in and actually redid the character models, the shaders, like I said before, new mocap, new dialogue. And when I saw what they had done side by side, it looked really good. I mean, it was a nice looking game in 2018. But now it really looks good. And then the biggest thing that I thought was a very fair thing to do is if you own the game, you can get the remaster for $10. So they're not charging you like 30 or 40 or 50 or whatever, like some of these other remasters do.
Yeah.
Which is basically ridiculous. But for $10, if you already own the game, whether it be on PlayStation or PC, you can get the remaster. So I thought that's fair. That's very fair.
Hey, it's not bad. I didn't expect that at all. I thought they'd have it as like, you know, AAA price, typically, you know, 40, 50 pounds as they normally would do. But yeah, that sounds fantastic.
I think if you're buying it from the first time, I think don't quote me because I'm not sure. I think the price will be higher, like $30 or $40 if you've never bought the game before
at all. Yeah, yeah.
On the remaster. But for you, if you do own it, then you won't be, you know, charged an arm and a leg, a mechanical arm and a leg.
I think I bought it on Steam. Yeah, a while ago.
That's where I originally. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to this. I mean, did you play the both games or?
I played the first one, but only a bit of it. I can't remember what. I think I had an old graphics card at the time as well, so it really didn't do itself justice. And I think we were playing the beginning of Star Citizen or something, so I think I was into that at the time. So these conversations they have, are they like dependent on choices or anything, or is it just like
I didn't read anything about that part of it. I do think that more than likely on a remaster, you're not going to make the choices change. I'm not saying that it isn't. Maybe it is. But from what I understand, it's just added on conversation where there wasn't any at that time. So they kind of like a refresh. So when you're talking to the character, if you played the game for like, when I played the game, I played it close to 200 hours. So, you know, I really enjoyed it. So I'm going to notice the differences when it pops up. But I was surprised that they actually did more mocap stuff. So that means they had to bring back some of the voice actors to go in front of the mocap and get them all suited up again. 10 hours of it. So I'm going 10 hours. Wow. That means there's a bunch. And I did see one scene where she went into the city where this character never even talked before, as far as I could tell. And all of a sudden this character's talking and I'm like, oh, okay. And the lighting and everything, I mean, it looks just gorgeous. But basically, and I talk a lot about mods on this program, and I saw a mod that I used on Horizon Forbidden West, and it really made a difference on that game. And that's a better graphic game. Well, this one on New Dawn, the remaster, looks as if you put in some high-end mod because it really looks good. If you've never played the game, anybody out there, you need to play it. It is definitely one of the top five RPGs I've ever played in my life that I love. I mean, I really like that God of War, and a couple other ones. But you, Matt, especially, you're probably going to really like it because now you can play with the full power going on.
Yes, and,
you get very lost into the story. And even though I really did enjoy Horizon Forbidden West, if I had to choose and tell you which one to play, I would play the first one because the first one is still the best. If I'm going to call that a 10. And then Horizon Forbidden West would be like a 9, which isn't bad. It's not bad, 8.5, 9. It's great, worth it. But the first one, there was just something to it that just maybe being the first, I don't know. But I think you're going to enjoy it. Do you get into RPGs that much, or it depends on the game?
It depends on the game. And if it has a real good storyline, a lot of feelsy to it, then I'm in for it pretty much. Then I'd happy play with it. I think I stayed away from Ragnar because I was in the things that I've seen, you know, from other people didn't have much, you know, in essence or depth. So I kind of just went, no, I'm not going to
bother with that
one. I think it was the first one.
God of War?
God of War. Yeah.
I played both. Again, I think the original God of War is a little bit better, but God of War Ragnarok is still very, very good.
Yeah.
Did you buy those games or did you?
I didn't.
Okay. Because they're out, as you know, they're out now on PC. That would be one I would snag if I were you. I think that
really may be the main reason why as well, because they weren't on PC.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Playing. I mean, I did play God of War Ragnarok and Horizon Forbidden West on PlayStation, which I never do because I just don't.
Yeah.
And grandson had one. I just said, I'm going to borrow this for a while. So I took it.
Yeah.
And that shows you how much I like those games. I actually went to a PlayStation as opposed to my computer. But now I'm just like, wow, this is just looking too good. So definitely going to do that. The other thing I wanted to mention too, the Guerrilla Games that makes the Horizon franchise, they had a bit of a setback when they were going to be doing the Horizon TV series at Netflix. Problem was, is the producer or the showrunner, basically, I don't know if he's been indicted or what, but he was doing some hanky panky. And basically, it was bad press, and I understand, and that makes sense. But because it got out of hand and it got to bad press, they had to put a little bit of the kibosh on it. Now, the bummer is, though, is that because a lot of streamers are cutting back right now, I don't think we're going to see a TV series anytime soon, which is a shame. However, they have gone ahead with their plans to launch Lego Horizons, or Lego Horizon Adventures, it's called.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the clip on it, but it looked kind of cool. It was it was the first story, New Dawn, but kind of kidderized.
Yeah,
that's a word. And so that kids could play it. But I thought it was kind of neat. I'm even tempted to maybe get it when it comes out, just to see. The bigger thing is, and I have no idea how this is going to work, but they're going full steam ahead with Horizon Online, and this is going to be a co-op game. We will be able to play with, any other person that you want in the game. I guess it's going to be more along the lines of live service type stuff, or where they're going to try to keep updating the game and whatnot. I sometimes cringe a little bit when I hear stuff like that, cause I'm like, I don't want them to mess it up. But if they can put the kind of quality into it, like they do with the game, I think you and I and Trev can have some fun with that game.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because I'll tell you, the battles with the mech dinosaurs are so much fun. And if you and I and Trev team up on some of the big ones, I think we could have a blast. So
absolutely.
I hope it comes off. There is no really saying as to when it's going to come out, but it's probably going to be, I would say, at least in another year. Also, they are working on a Horizon 3 for PC and PlayStation, but that's a long way off. So you're talking probably 3 or 4 years at least.
Yeah, from now. Time.
Yeah, it's going to be a little while for that one, but that's okay. I mean, it is what it is. So it'll all be fine.
Yeah. Do you think the online one will be story based driven, or do you think it'd be like mission based where you just go to points?
Gosh, I wish. Everything
not
that
too
I'm reading
sure yet.
Yeah, I don't think they have a positive thing. There's so many people sitting on the fence with this one because you know what, co-op games are very fickle like that, online live service. You never know what's going to happen, and a lot of times they might be very popular at the beginning, but then just kind of fall off the cliff after a couple months or whatever. So I don't know. I hope there's some really good missions that we can run that are thought out and maintain the kind of quality that the regular games have, and if they can, that would be pretty cool.
Absolutely.
So we're really just going to have to wait and see, ultimately what ends up happening. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. We'll see what happens.
Good. I'm definitely going to have to buy the new one, the revamped one. I've only played 116 minutes of the original.
Oh yeah,
of Zero Dawn. So.
Yeah, you definitely want to start over, and you'll get it for $10, so it's worth it.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm anxious to see what you think about it, because I thought it's just one of those stellar games.
Yeah,
I think we mentioned before, somehow, for whatever reason, Sony seems to make really good RPGs, better than most anyone else, which is a good thing, so all for us anyway.
True, I think, most of the ones that I have liked have originally been from Sony, so I'd probably go with that as well.
to move on the next piece of game news, we're going to talk about Enshrouded. They just recently had a dev update, and apparently they're talking about a big update coming real soon, which is what we've been waiting for. They did some smaller ones in between where they introduced trees and it's like tree forts or people that live in the trees or whatever, and you had to go through all some of that, which has been good. But this time they're talking about a major update. Did you play? You played Enshrouded, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, wow. No. That's a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get into it.
I couldn't get into it. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I've been watching a lot of streams of it, and I used to watch it back in the day when people played it on their stream. But yeah, I've liked it, looking at it. I don't know. There's something about it that just doesn't want me to play it. So I'm just like, yeah.
We're gonna have to convince you.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll see. In any case, for people that do like it, and I've played a bunch of it, I really liked it. They've maintained 85% rating on 50,000 user reviews on Steam. The next patch, like I said, this big update is going to introduce a whole new biome. They're going to open up another big section of the map. They're going to allow you to transform your base into more of a home. They're going to hire the level cap so that you can go, you know, above the cap. This is going to be more than the last things that they did. They did Hollow Halls, which is new. They did Melodies in the Mire, which is the tree thing I was telling you back. They did Back to the Shrouds. These are like small updates, but they're good. But this thing is another whole story where it's going to actually be very large. Besides that, there's going to be new enemies. There's going to be more crafting materials so that you can build all kinds of different stuff. And some of the builds in this game for people that really know how to build have been like absolutely unbelievable. New weapons, new armor, farm animals, pets, a bunch of other stuff. So I'm really looking forward to that. They also said they're going to do something that I thought was interesting. They're going to free up the NPCs so that they're not always stuck where they are in the game. When you open up some of these NPCs that do things for you or sell you stuff or make things for you, help you craft and so on and so forth, they really just stay wherever you put them and they never move.
Yeah, so, that was one of my gripes. I remember that. Yeah,
yeah. And so apparently they're going to be moving around your camp or your base.
Yeah.
And there's going to be animals kind of walking around, and if you do any pets, they're going to kind of be wandering. So it's going to be more of a lived in feel. I mean, Enshrouded still is and technically a early access. I guess they open up all the map. But for an early access game, I wish everybody could make a game that good that's early access, because that's unbelievable. And they believe they just approached 2 million players, if I'm right. So that's not too shabby either.
That's quite good. So, yeah.
So I'm definitely looking forward to this. So we'll have to keep our ears open, because they didn't really say when, but they said it's going to be more sooner than later. So looking forward to seeing some of that and see what happens. Anything to make a comment on before I go to the next thing? Or
what can you have as pets? Like little goblin things, or just like the animals that they have there?
I mean, I'm assuming it's the animals that you have there, which would kind of be neat because there's some interesting animals. Yeah. Remember some games in the past had like a taming thing?
Yes, yeah.
So like you could go up to almost any animal, and if you spend a little time, you could tame it, and then all of a sudden it's a pet. I'm kind of hoping that, because some of the animals are cool, so it'd be neat to go up there and see if you could tame them, and then they hang out with you. Not to mention if you get something like a wolf or whatever, they also
help you in battles. Yeah, that'd be good. Or carry like stuff.
That. Yeah. It's funny because in Horizon Zero Dawn, they introduced that with the mechs, dinosaurs, and creatures, but you had to basically override them, and when you override them, they will be part. They will do stuff for you.
Yeah.
And in the mechanics of the game, they override, but only for a certain amount of time. But there's also skill trees where you can have the override longer and longer, and eventually you can actually make it permanent. And if you want to see some fun, man, go into Horizon Zero Dawn and make a couple of these guys fight for you, and then just step back and watch them fight the other mechs. And you just sit there and just stare at them while they're smashing the hell out of each other.
I think I'll definitely be doing that.
Oh, very cool. All right, the next little piece of news, I guess we'll get your opinion on too, Matt, here. Asus apparently has achieved a new world record in overclocking a chip. And they did this on the AMD Ryzen 9. And they went to 7.55 gigahertz. And this is supposed to be an overclock record now.
Yeah. We have to go into those. What's the overclocking site that comes up with their scores?
Oh gosh, I can't remember the name of the site. You're right.
Afterburner was one of them, and
well, the article I read was from the WCCF tech people, which are pretty techy.
Yeah,
absolutely. They did it on a crosshair, a ROG Crosshair X870E Hero, and the Ryzen 9 9950X.
Yeah,
and I guess if you want to be exact, it was 7548.68 megahertz.
Ah, well then.
No, I'm sorry. That's the addition of the
edition. Yeah.
But their first place, they said it five global first places.
Yeah.
Okay. I like how they say shatters the record. You could only, you could bring it up a tenth of a point, and they would still say it shattered the record. It's like
Yeah. Nice. That's good.
That's pretty, yeah. That's pretty neat, though. I don't, and they didn't have to use any kind of liquid nitrogen or anything.
No. Wow. So if you don't want your heating and you don't have anything there, get yourself an AMD. There we go.
Well, let's see. They had they did a couple other things too, different boards and stuff. But yeah, but so 7.55. If you want to really be the one on the block with the highest, overclocking ever.
Does that remember Intel's chips?
Say again.
If it beats Intel?
Well, they said it's a world record. They didn't say it was an AMD world record. They just said world record
for overall. Yeah.
So I'm assuming that means that eventually, you know, they'll want to try to do the same thing with maybe Intel. But right now, Intel's has enough problems with chips that rust through your board and things
like
that.
None of them seem to survive it quick enough.
They're in a problem right now, and apparently AMD's taking what publicity. They can get out of it, which I would totally understand. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Also, I think I don't know if you remember this, but a while back, I think it was Doom Eternal, I think, and we had talked about how Doom or the newer Doom games are so well optimized, and they had said one of the devs had said that you can basically get 1,000 frames per second. That's how well optimized it was, but they're all going 1,000 frames. So. Yeah. I remember seeing a video, I think you can see it on YouTube, but a group decided to sit there and see if they could do it. Mm. And wow, it for a stunt, it was pretty cool. So what they were doing is they had the chip on the board, there was like a cone or a funnel that was square that fit around the chip.
Yeah.
And so it started at the base of the chip and then the tunnel came up about a foot from the chip. And then they had like a funnel on top of this, this tube or whatever you want to call it, a square tube. And they're constantly pouring liquid nitrogen into it. So they would just sit there and pour it in, and if it started to boil off or whatever, they pour another one. And then they had equipment set up to be able to read this. And you see the frames per second as they're playing go like 700, 800, 900. And they're dumping more and more liquid nitrogen in there. And it finally cracked 1,000. I think it was 1,001 or something like that, frames per second on Doom. So they actually... It could be done. They weren't kidding when they optimized it and said that you could do it, but who would? These people did. And they actually did it. I was just like, oh my God. I said, that's pretty wild.
That'd be epic.
It's cool for a stunt. I think it's neat when people do little stunts like that to see if
I think it's brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they could do that.
They can minimize it and then use it. There we go.
Do you think we can get a hold of some liquid nitrogen and play around?
Yes. Okay.
Anything.
I know some schools
have liquid anything. Certainly can't pour water on it or anything. That wouldn't work. Or get our AIO coolers to do the job, but that won't work
vodka.
Either.
Pure vodka. There we go. Just stick it in the freezer for quite a long time, and then
there you go. What if you built a freezer around the computer and then played?
The freezer into the PC.
There you go. Or build a little freezer box around the chip only.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have the refrigerant and everything in there. So it keeps, like, I'd love
with
to see
an ice
that.
Maker next to it, and then it just dumps ice all over it. That'd be brilliant.
That'd be great. You have an automatic ice maker that just keeps on throwing the ice down there on top of it. Just we'll keep it cool.
Yeah, there you go.
It's like, where does the water go after it melts? We're working on that.
Yeah, yeah. That's another problem for another day. Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
Anyway, sticking with the hardware, you have a bunch of news you wanted to go over. So
yeah, I think this might be more rumor than proper news, but I thought it'd be quite a laugh to have a go until Ash becomes proper. So someone has leaked photos, supposed photos, of the AMD Ryzen 7 9800X3D gaming processor. And they go into great detail about it, including the product box, how it looks with a black and gold graphics on there. But a lot of people are saying, because the person who's leaked it, who does a lot of news anyways on hardware, some of it can be a bit hit or miss in this case. So I was looking at pictures, but it only came from that source. I've looked everywhere to see if it was anywhere else, but it's only from there. So I'll be quite interested to see what that looks like, see if it's anything, brings something new to the board.
I get it, to the board. Well, isn't that supposed to be their flagship chip or their flagship chip when it comes to gaming, I guess?
Yes, yeah, yeah. It's supposed to be yet new 8-core gaming processor, 3DV cache, apparently as well, to be released supposedly soon.
I don't know if I haven't got a picture up here, but I'm not sure if this picture is really...
With the highest clock speeds recorded, even though I haven't seen what the clock speeds are, and I don't think it actually mentions it in the news.
What
this person is saying, it's the only place I've seen that, from the source, who's a YouTuber. So it's probably more fluff than proper news. Well, I thought it was quite interesting. So? Yeah, well... I don't know. You had a lot of detail there. I mean,
Is that what it's supposed to look like right there?
Black, gold. Yeah. That's the one.
But this legend is unbeatable. Pretty cool.
It looks good. Yeah, it looks fancy. Yeah. It's back to its square shape and chunky. It looks a bit too clean, a little bit too near.
So it looks pretty thick, though. Is that just all cooler on the top?
Yeah, he's good, nice. But yeah, it's supposed to be the best if it is that, and if the colors come out, or whether it's a good graphics the guy has come up with. But yeah, it looks pretty nice.
Cool. Hello. I'm looking forward to that. I can't buy one for a while. I'm working off my rusted Intel. No, only kidding. I love every opportunity I can say that it's rusted, even though it's not. Anyway, you want to talk about Razer?
It's a nice brown color to it. Was it Razer this year had their launch show debut, which I missed typically. I'm always missing each show. It's ridiculous. But they came out with the first HD haptic gaming cushion called the Razer Freya.
What's it called? A gaming cushion?
Yeah, so it's haptic, so it's got all the sensors, vibrations, all that good shenanigans built into a cushion that you put on your normal chair, your gaming chair, what have you. It's quite flexible, including, I think they said, it's programmable with the Razer control hub as well. Synapsis 4, that's it. I think a lot of companies have done the haptic thing and they've come up with suits, vests, gloves, so having a cushion versus a chair that does it or clothing that does it, I think I'd go that way more than having a RGB cushion, pretty much. Looks okay. Also, it's good for movie and music as well. You can run with that as well. There it is.
So that's the gaming cushion, huh?
Yeah.
It looks kind of like... So this just overlays your existing chair, I guess?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, so this thing doesn't like vibrate or do whatever?
Yeah, pretty much everything. There we go. Yeah, might even be good for massages. Just take it to work. There you go. If you got a meeting, set off. Boom,
look at the price. The price says $300 USD. That's not bad if it does what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. I think it's quite expensive for a cushion, though.
So well, I think they've got the cushions. It's supposed to have, if I can read this, Multi-directional haptics powered by 6 advanced haptic motor actuators. Mm-hmm. Okay. Whether navigating through bullets or steering across racetracks or experiencing environmental effects like earthquakes, it's going to offer full body sensory experience. So okay.
Yeah, yeah. And customizable as well.
I would buy this from Amazon and try it out so I can return it if it's garbage.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea, actually. Yep.
That is assuming they're going to sell it on Amazon. I mean, a lot of times Razer gets very proprietary about selling, you know, their own stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame. But, yeah.
It sounds kind of cool, though. I mean, at least worth trying.
It is.
Maybe we'll give them an advertisement. They'll give us one. Yeah, that's
absolutely.
It.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, when you get your VR kit, you know, you that cushion.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I'll be boom. VRing and it'll be shaking me at the same time. Yeah. I'm falling off a mountain for real. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Absolutely. So another thing Razer is releasing is the new Kraken V4 Pro. Gave me a headset, which has quad connectivity modes from there. So you got what's it, you can connect it wirelessly, Bluetooth, through cable and 3.5 as well, which is pretty handy. It comes with a control hub and it there you go. Oh, look at that. I do like the color, but I'm not for these, you know. I want to test these things out first because, you know, sometimes it can be a bit let down. So on the control board, it has a LED screen as well, OLED display, and it also has the THX spatial audio support as well on there. So it's pretty good bang for your buck. I think I see the price for £350 to £400 from there. I tried to have a look on the shop, see if they have a pre-order with the price showing, and I could only find the previous. I think it was just called the V3, which looked good as well.
I don't know, if you have the cushion, though, and it's giving you all that sensory input or whatever, or experience or whatever, do you nearly need the headsets?
It's it would be
like an either-or kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you get the headset or you get the cushion, because the cushion's got the stuff built in.
Built in. Yeah, absolutely. Maybe it'll give you that surround feeling, I don't know.
So it says here, the control hub allows for extensive customization, displaying critical PC metrics. Okay.
Yeah.
Managing audio sources. No wonder it costs so much. It's doing a lot of wild stuff.
It is.
I got to give them credit. They come up with some really cool high-end equipment. It's not cheap, but it is pretty interesting.
Yeah. I did get, I was given the mouse mat a while ago. It was Razer. Was it the RGB mouse mat?
Oh, yeah.
And I plugged it in. It lasted 24 hours. Yeah, 12 hours 24, maybe.
24 hours.
Yeah. And I just unplugged it. Nah. I think it was just too much for me. I was just like, nope. So I gave it away. Sorry, boss, if you're watching or listening in. Don't fire me. It was for a good cause. I gave it away. Of course I did. Yep.
Of course.
Yeah. So all of this stuff also connects to the... the control center of Razer, the Synapsis 4, which is, I think they said it's now fully released and sorted, apparently. So there you go. So if there was any issues, there you go. Another thing they were doing, and I didn't put much into this because I don't see what the point of having one of these is a laptop cooling pad. And some of it was automated. I don't know. Half of my missing news is missing from there, so I don't know. But it's customizable to laptops from 14-inch to 18-inch laptops. It variable controls its automations of how cool you need it is versus what you need. So it keeps control of that part.
The audio audience can't see this, but we're putting up some pictures. So if you want to see what we do, you can go to the YouTube video. But in the picture, it's kind of funny. I'm looking at it, and it almost looks like a refrigeration unit that's underneath the laptop.
Yeah, it does look kind of thick that they're kind of hiding behind ice there, doesn't it?
Oh, that's funny. They got a bunch of snow or shaved ice that's around this thing. Like, you know, it's going to keep it really cool.
Absolutely, yeah. And apparently it creates a vacuum between the seal of the that product mm-hmm. and the laptop, so it keeps it no leaks, apparently, from the air that your laptop will be getting.
$150
$150 for something that I'm a bit, yeah. I don't see what the point of it, you know, laptops are just rubbish anyways.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I guess if you have a gaming laptop, it could be useful, I suppose. But yeah, I think it's just, it's more for show than anything else. I'm not saying it's not cool. They always make cool stuff, but yeah, I think I agree with you. It's like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, are you going to get much of a percentage out of it as well? Is it worth that? Saying that, I did buy one for kid's birthday a while ago.
Did you?
But I think, it wasn't a branded one. I think it was just one with fans that you can control with a Switch.
Okay.
So hopefully next weekend I'll find out whether it's good or not. Because he does a lot of design stuff and creativity things on Roblox and Geo Dash, I think it's called. Yeah. So he creates his levels and things and music he creates out of his laptop.
Hopefully. Have you used Razer equipment in the past at all?
No. No.
The only thing I used was the haptic feedback headsets. I can't remember the model number. I still have them. And I thought those were pretty cool. I was playing a lot of Division 2 at the time, and when you put those on and you hear them shoot, like with the rifle or the machine gun or whatever, it really does. It's weird. It's not a vibration. I gotta give them credit. It's not based on vibration, but however they build the haptics into the headset, you still feel the recoil of the gun when they shoot it. And depending on what direction it's coming from. And then when you're shooting your gun, you feel it too. It's hard to explain, but it's not vibrating, because if you put the headsets on a table and play the game, on the ones that do vibrate, they literally could vibrate right off the table. These don't move. They just sit there, but it's giving you the same effect.
Yeah.
So those are pretty cool. So I still have those. I use them occasionally, but that's probably the only Razer equipment I think I ever messed with, really.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I mean, I've not heard anything bad about Razer.
No, you don't.
No. So I think only one person that I've known had a Razer keyboard. I think it broke or wasn't working properly. So they had another one. But I think that's more probably due to use or misuse than it is.
Banging on it like that. Yeah, could have been.
Rage quit, boom, there we go.
Keyboard. Sorry.
He's everywhere.
You know what they made years ago? I don't know if you saw it, but way back in the pandemic times, they made their own mask.
Yeah.
And I was going, what? And I took a look at this thing and I gotta admit, it was pretty cool. They had it so that instead of hiding your face, you could actually see the person's face.
Yeah,
but it still did what it was supposed to do. I don't know if they ever actually went to production with them. I never did find out, but I heard they weren't going to be cheap. But they kind of figured, well, if you're going to use it and people can't see your face, now they can see your face. But it still protects, and of course, like anything with Razer, right? They had every modern medical miracle built into it so that, you know, no germs get anywhere or whatever. But I thought that was interesting because I've never seen them make anything really much else than PC related stuff. So when I saw this high tech mask, I was sitting there going like, oh, well, that's kind of interesting. But again, I don't know if they've ever really got it out to market per se, but I always remember the ad. It was kind of interesting.
Yeah. I think I actually wanted one as well. I think I had RGB as well. Built into it.
That's even cooler.
Yeah. So yeah, because you have
to talk to somebody, they'll just light up like this.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the two of us talking, and each time we talk, it goes like this.
Yeah, little speechy things.
Oh, everybody at the bar we're at or something's gonna be going like, "What's going on?"
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
We definitely have to look at it. If anybody does find it, please buy me one. I mean,
thank you.
I don't know what. So that'd be pretty good. So another one was for PC cases, because you don't really hear much about PC cases. Mainly probably due to the pricing of it, because they are quite expensive. And the one that kind of took my eye quite literally as well. I was like, what this is. Cooler Master one. It's the Shark X. I think it's a mini ITX.
Shark X, you're calling it?
Yeah, the Shark X.
Okay.
Which looks pretty nice. It's a pre-built PC that has it, and it's got like the shark standing up on its tail.
Oh, I got this. I get. I'll put it up. I just saw it.
Yeah. But I was trying to find.
I've never seen anything like this. Let me pop it up real quick. It's like pretty crazy looking.
It is crazy.
Look at this thing.
Yeah. So it's got RGB built into it as well. Wow. It's quite nice. It's a 3 foot tall.
Really? Oh, that's pretty tall.
That's just for the whole model of the case, not the the part that fits your PC in. So please keep that in mind if you ever do buy it.
If people out there that are listening on audio, literally this case is a shark.
Tech Shark.
And it's not just the name Shark X for nothing. It is a shark.
Yeah.
And if you want to look at it, Google it. Or like I said, if you want to see it on our YouTube, check out the YouTube video of ours thing. But that is the not weird. It's actually very cool.
It is.
Do the fins like move or anything?
I think they kind of do, but they don't move on its own, unfortunately. Seen it anyway, because I've been looking at videos of it from Cooler Master themselves, and it doesn't show it moving at all or being poseable.
I can see where the chip is. The chip is like near its mouth, but
where's the
graphics card? I don't know.
It's in there, probably underneath that cooler. No, it's just that bit where you see the cooler. That's the bit. And it's a micro ITX build only, I think it is. But the colors are customizable.
Oh, are they?
Quite nice. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Yeah. And I think it came from one of the mods that inspired it, which was in 2019. So they came up with that one. I think, did they come up with Shoe, the trainer, I think as well? From then,
I don't see the price here. What have you heard on the pricing for this?
The pricing is in the thousands. Let's just put it that way. It's about 2,000-3,000. Because it's a pre-built thing, not just a primary.
Kind of like one of those Razer things. If you have the expendable cash.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, exactly. So apparently, it does has an i7 14700F processor, and it. The RTX 470 Ti Super, 64 gigabytes of RAM, and a 2 terabyte SSD in there.
Wow, not bad.
Yeah, so it's quite nice. It's a mini ITX, the framework, up on that top bit where the head is. As you can see, it kind of, you have the space to put things in there. So it's made out of aluminium and tempered glass as well. And the beautiful LED lighting systems there.
It's very sharp looking. Look, I'd have to win a lottery to afford it, but if I did, I would pick it up.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, it'd be fantastic.
Pick it up as a streamer computer. You know how they used to do you have your regular computer and then you broadcast over to the other streamer computer?
Yeah,
that's it. I don't know if they still do that, but...
Maybe if I win the lottery, I'll do that. Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Maybe you could buy the case and then just kind of put the lights in it and just don't bother building any computer in it, just so you can just make it do things.
That's it. Yeah, just have it as a lamp.
Yeah, as a lamp.
There you go. Yeah.
Put a bulb on its
head. Put Alexa stuff on it. Yeah, there you go.
The only thing is, if I'm going to pay, I understand why they don't do it, but if I'm going to spend that kind of money, I would want, like, come on, put a couple of little server motors in there so that the fins flap.
Yeah, or the tail does something.
Or the tail moves. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah, or have it at least posable so you don't have it having standing up or anything. Yeah. You can have it coming downwards.
I swear there would sell more if they did that. You know, it'd be pretty cool.
Absolutely, yeah. But I'm sure somebody who has a 3D printer probably could come up with that.
Oh, okay.
For a lot cheaper as well. And just, I tell you what, if somebody did that, they'd make some good bucks.
Yeah, I think
so. Just having a case.
Yep.
I want a great white one. So it's massive and it can actually take...
The great white will cost 10 times.
Yeah, a full tower size one.
Exactly. It'd be like one big thing. You know,
yeah.
You got to put the teeth in there somewhere.
Absolutely, yeah. So, wow, it is very expensive though for what it is.
Yeah.
Which is typical. Yeah. So next news is, because I'm looking into monitors that have a better hertz, because, you know, my hertz is hurting.
Yeah, when you were going to say that. I was waiting for it.
You wait. Look at me, the king of puns. So there we go. So
tell me,
Sony,
what are you looking for particularly?
I just want a 4K, 27, 28-inch, 4K IPS screen,
and
slim-based, minimum 144 to 400.
Okay.
I see something up there, you know, something that I can go, wow, I can actually, you know, see a difference or anything, or just go, hey, I've got it at least, because everybody seems to have them. I want one now. It's my time. That's what I think, anyways.
I'm rocking my 32-inch, not 4K, but 1440p, and I'm doing 240 hertz. So, yeah.
What
brand or what model of the Sony are you looking at?
So they've come out with two brand new ones, called the InZone, and I think it's also to commemorate PlayStation as well. So there's two monitors they have. One's mainly for PlayStation, and another one for PC gaming. So thanks for bringing us in, me loves. So they got the M9 II, which is the PlayStation edition, which gives you the 27-inch IPS panel. Oh, it's like they were talking to me with a 4K resolution. It's for me. Ah, oh, thank you, Sony. Send it.
Send it.
Yeah. Please.
We'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take back everything I said. And it's at improved 160 hertz refresh rates on there.
Is this? I just brought this one up. Is this one of them right here? Right, the 4K.
No, that looks like the old one.
Oh, is it the old one?
Yeah, so
in that case, I'll just take it down.
Yeah, $600 though. I think the new one's just about the same price, actually. Yeah. So this one is very slim, absolutely thin as ice. Which is gorgeous. It offers 360-degree rotation, you know, so when you're trying to battle wires behind it, instead of getting up and getting all cranky, you can actually look at my movements there. You can actually just move it to where you want it, which is very nice. So the price is at the moment in dollars and pounds. I put in this. See, look, I was thinking ahead, you know, in case anybody wanted to buy me for Christmas. is $799 or £899 for us. So brother, if you're listening from America, hi. Yeah, you owe me. You
know. I'll get two of them. I'll put them side by side.
Yeah, exactly. So they've done another one. This is for esports collaboration. They did this one, and this is the InZone M10S. You should get a nice, gorgeous picture of this. So slim lined. It's gorgeous. Again, 27-inch OLED display with this one, with a very, very impressive 480 hertz refresh rate.
480? So, are you kidding?
Yeah. So wow. Esports Fanatic helped them as well with this whole thing. It is beautiful. It's nice.
I think I do have a shot.
Do you have a picture? Because I did have a link for it, but it's disappeared. I think I changed it for something else, which you'll see later.
It's the Google.
Yeah, Google. King Google.
Let's see. Here we go. There. Okay, so 27-inch InZone M10S OLED QHD, 480 hertz. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you turn it around, it is slim. You also got the 360 rotation.
I might be able to move the thing to turn it a little bit. We'll give it a shot, see what it looks like. There's a little bit different of an angle, another angle there. There you go. That has it on the side angle. It's got a little beef to it. I mean, it's not like, you know, I don't know if it's because of the hertz.
So it's just showing us straight.
That's the M9. I'm sorry. I might screw up.
There you go.
You see it now?
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Now, I'm sorry. That was my fault. Let me see if I can move this one around a little. there we go. Now you can see the thin.
Yeah, that's like you're saying. Super slim.
Yeah, that's
got a nice stance.
Wow.
Yeah,
pretty nice, so people out there in Audio Land. It's the 27 in zone M10S OLED QHD 480Hz gaming monitor. Very nice, very nice. It's not cheap, $1,099, I guess, in bucks over here.
Yes, yeah.
That's just 27. You'd think they'd make at least 32 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but whatever. It's still pretty. It's pretty cool though. Yeah, now, is that the one you really want, or something close to that?
Close. Maybe with a lot smaller pay package with it.
Well, I think the 144 was what? That was like more like 500, 600 or something?
Yeah, 700, 800, yeah.
Okay.
So, cool. Yeah, I mean, it's okay, but I, you know, when it comes to monitors, 4K, I think they're so overpriced for what they are. You know, they're just a monitor.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much at the end of it.
Well, yeah, you know, a lot of people gone to 4K televisions because you can plug your computer into those.
Yeah.
I know some people, I don't know how, are playing on 4K televisions that are like 48 inch. I mean, that's like too big to put on a desk, man. You have to sit like way back.
You like this?
It's like, what? I can't see it.
Yeah, you got enemies coming over the hill. Where? I got a 55 inch one and from Sony as well. I've been trying to connect my computer wirelessly to it, but I only do that for audio. So I think
just get a really long HDMI cord and
I plug know. It over there. That's it. Or I can, I'll get one of those. What's it? Those transceiver HDMI transceivers that you get now. I don't know if they're any good. Maybe I should test one of those out.
I always worry about something like this that's throwing a signal like that because a good equipment, it doesn't seem to, you know, do its job.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm sure there'd be a few interferences happening there.
Exactly.
So yeah, well done Esports Fanatic and Sony for that. It does look really nice.
All right, well that's our hardware corner. There's a lot of very cool stuff as you heard from us and also saw if you're watching the us live. We'll move on to some game news. Matt's up first with some things either he and or I did. So go ahead, Matt, your first game you want to talk about.
So the first game is one from our first few podcasts that we did a review on this, where I called it Giant. Are we allowed to say Giant? There we go. It's No Man's Sky, which I called No Man's Doodles at that point. And God,
No Man's Shite? What?
Yeah, No Man's Shite, I used to call it, yeah. that didn't go down well with the boss. Well,
to be fair, everybody probably knows this by now. By the way, they're mowing my lawn. I never know when they come. sorry about the noise. But one of the things that, when it first came out, of course, there was a real problem with the game. But they have made every effort since then. And it's been, I think, 7 or 8 years. And I think within a year or 2 years at the most, they got the game totally back into shape. And to their credit, they have never charged for an update. I mean, and they've done, I think, 10 or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a lot. And free, I'm not surprised. I'd expect it to be free because at that time it was kind of, so good. We played it yesterday. Mm-hmm. I had a sneaky weeky the day before because UD stuff was getting to me. So I was like, let me jump on and see what happens. Gray, what did you think from your side?
I mean, those kind of games or games similar to that are really involved and does take up many hours, which is a good thing. If you enjoy that kind of a game, you're going to be playing 100 hours probably minimum. If not a lot more. And I love to explore, so I can easily see me putting 150, 200 hours into it, you know. But I did play it for a little while, a couple hours. At the beginning, when you're starting afresh again, is pretty much not a whole lot different. I think the graphics look a lot better. I think they look nicer, sharper. But essentially, a lot of the things you're doing at the beginning are the same. But once you... from what I understand, I think you did a little more of this once you got off planet. Then I think there's more to do and or see as you move along. And I guess from what I understand, unlike like Starfield or whatever, you can get to other planets, and there's a whole bunch of stuff going on each planet. Definitely get lost in that game for a while, and I liked it. I liked it before when I tried it, but I only did it for like, I don't know, an hour or two. And this time it was kind of fun getting back to it and trying to remember. The nice thing I do like about it, though, is that you can alter the difficulty in terms of how much survival do you want to, you know, work in it. Now, I will admit for myself, at the beginning, because I'm trying to figure out what the heck is going on, I turned off getting killed by the game because I want to enjoy something, not die every time. So until I'm used to it, then I'll probably go back and change the survival ability difficulty factor and move it up. But knowing that you can actually change it is enjoyable because I'm having more fun not worrying about whether I'm going to, you know, if I die, I'm going to die because, you know, something attacks me or something that's different. But I can actually go out and explore and get used to the mechanics before I change the difficulty. And because our video cards are so much better now than 8 years ago, you play the game on Ultra, boom, and everything just looks great. You were having a lot of fun, though, because I heard you commenting all the time.
Yeah, I was getting distracted a lot of the time and, you know, scanning everything, getting myself into lots and lots of trouble. it's a game that, as you say, it takes a lot of time to do anything there, you know, especially me, because I get distracted very easily. There's a little creature. Off I go to follow it. Or,
I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Remember when I was playing with you, I'm sitting there scanning and I go, ooh, that sounds good. I'm going to go over there.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm like, why don't you stick to the mission? No, because I got to go see what that is.
Yeah. I think you have to, because if you stick to the missions, I think it just gets a bit blander. Plus, I probably don't think I understand the whole concept of the mission either. So I'm just like, yeah, I'll go and do this.
They don't hold your hand completely, which I guess
no, they
is
don't.
Good.
Yeah.
Did you take off in the ship? I don't remember whether you actually.
I did. I took off, ran out of fuel, landed, crashed a few times, crashed into a ship that warped into me, I could say. Yeah. and then got into myself a lot of trouble, lots of trouble. Found towns, little, well, huts sort of thing, stations, I guess you call them. I ended up shooting drones, which then called more drones. But the one thing I didn't like about it is that they just appear. There's nothing to it. They just, there they are, right in front of you sort of thing. They do like this little warpy image thing and boom, there. Loads of them. And then they just keep on coming. You get a timer, 6 seconds. Oh, there's more. There's elite. There's probably, you know, that type of thing. And I'm just like, I just want this to stop. What do? I try to run away. They just follow. Then you end up getting ships following you. And then it's the same with it. They just warp into you right there and then. So you don't really have much of an escape. And then there's a capital ship, boom, right there.
You had everything going on.
I had everything, yeah. So I'm just shooting things left, right, and center, trying to get away, nearly dying. And this happening over and over again. And I think I found a place where you can land your ship and then go in, a marketplace type of thing. And it's only then where the timer then dissipated and the bad guys, well, the drones, I'm probably the bad guy because I did kind of shoot some.
You were the bad guy because you shot down.
I kind of shot a few things accidentally, on purpose.
Well, let me ask you a question. When you took off, did you land on more than one different world or just one?
No, just two extra. One was very weird. Okay. Yeah, one was accidentally.
The original planet.
Yeah. Sort of thing.
So give me your impression, because I haven't done that yet. Give me your impression of when each of the two worlds you landed on.
Very different, odd. It was interesting because it depends on your view. So whether you're on first person or third person via ship, you get different visuals. So if you're on third person, you don't really see much, you know, on atmospherics. You just see your ship coming in to this planet. Where if you're in the cockpit, you see flames come in from the side. Or you don't see flames. You see colors of flames.
Right.
Coming from the sides, and you got more of a HUD thing going on. That was pretty much it. The first planet, they are procedurally generated, aren't they?
I think
so. In that universe that you're at. So this one had like some blobby cell style things hanging around, just nothing else, just those. Mm-hmm. And a planet that's made out of mechanical things, you know. The rocks were metal. There's a couple of creatures that will be going around which are metallic or rock style things, which is interesting. I think the only thing that stayed the same was there's this massive worm that it, at certain points will come out of the ground and fly around, especially if you're destroying that world. You know, there's a comeuppance.
Yeah. It's just one of those, what do you call it? One of those dune kind of worms? Or
yeah, yeah. Treble worms. cool. It is, yeah. I think they only activated if you're destructing the world. It's ecosystem sort of thing. If you're interfering with that too much, then it comes out at you sort of thing. I think that's like it was originally. They had more drones, I think, and they would attack you if you're cutting down too many trees or zapping them from that. I think the mechanics, you know, of movement is a bit off, a bit off-putting for me, especially with a field of view.
In what way does it feel off?
Yeah. So it's quite clunky. The ship controls are, like, you can't really stop unless you're landing, pretty much. So you're mm-hmm. still on the move. It will just slow down, pretty much. Unless you crash into something like I do. That pretty much, it's a bit annoying. Mm-hmm. Ships that are out there, like even with you, Greg, they'd come into your planet, fly around and stuff. And there was a big, massive ship. And I was like, oh, can I just take that over? You know, because, you know, in the world, if you see a ship,
right?
Supposedly you can take it sort of thing. I don't know whether there's things in there that you can't do it. But mm-hmm. this big ship, so I was like, oh, let me shoot it and try and get on it. And I shot this ship. It's quite a nice looking one. And it just stood still. Nothing happened.
So you shot it and it just stopped?
It just stopped. And yeah, okay. And that was it.
Were you able to board it?
I couldn't do anything with it. No. So okay. it was just sitting there, and I was in the mid space. Well, not space. We were on the planet. It was midair, just there, not doing anything. So I flew around it, tried to land on top of it, couldn't do any of the such.
So do you think, from what you're explaining to me, that was kind of off-putting?
Yeah. Yeah, because I was like, oh, you can take any ship that you find there. I'm sure I've heard this, you know, advertised. Mm-hmm. So I was like, ah, yeah, because I've seen ships on planets, you know, you can go around and you find another broken down ship or something. You can you fix it and then take it and go, off you go. Okay. Or you can go to one of those big space stations and buy one. Sort of thing. So seeing those spaceships, I was like, oh, I just want to get that one, you know, see what I can do, but couldn't, unfortunately.
Now, do you think that's because the No Man's Sky is more of an exploring the worlds kind of game as opposed to spaceship stuff?
Yeah, I think it's more of a exploration thing. Even with missions, you know, I fell into one where you have to learn a language to understand it from these orb places, which is quite fun. It's quite exciting. And I think it was the Krevik that I was interfering with. That's the wrong word. That's terrible. That gave me arrested.
Yeah, I forget.
Yeah. So, you know, conversing with another person from that race, you know, they'll talk to you and you only know one word from what they're saying. And then you're like, oh. And then it gives you options on the side of what your response should be. So mine was there, give it good iron, give it metal, rusty rubbish stuff, or just say hi or something. And so I was just like,
they should learn like the word moron or something. That would be like, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think I learned the only word was traveler.
That'll get you the shot other word from quick. That thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, now how long has it been since you was this the first time you played it, or did you play it once
I played it before when it first came out. I was made to buy it by that terrible person. I'm not going to ask who it is. Shocking. Yeah, never forgive him for it. Loads of money down the drain at that time.
Where do you feel the gap? I mean, I know you got it at its worst, but where do you feel, I know you only played so much, but where do you feel the game has come from when you played it originally, which is not great to know.
Right now, I still feel the same. I still think it's the same. I mean, it is kind of fun doing what I was doing, but, you know, I wasn't really into it sort of thing. So I was just like, you know, let's go do this, let's go there. I kind of still had the concept of what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm following this Atlas thing to God knows where. But yeah, I mean, the graphically, it is sharper. I still haven't been able to find other players in a server.
Yeah, I couldn't join you either.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be cross-platform, but we couldn't figure that one out.
No. And every time I went to connect to your game, it went connected, and I was okay. Now what? And that's all I said. It was just that you're connected.
It's connected. Like, oh, you're nice. Like, you know, 400 miles, yeah. Away, million miles, yeah. Away.
Or you're still on the menu, and I'm like, well, is there a way to get out of the menu to go into this? All you had was, yep, that's it, or B to go back. So you're B to go back to the main screen. So I'm like, ah, okay, it's done. I go back to the screen to click join. So
it sounds like from what you've experienced that it's not terrible, but you expected more.
I expected a lot more. I expected a UI that you'd be able to scroll around easily. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot more choices than there was back then. You know, right. Especially with what type of game do you want to play? Normal, survival, relaxed game, what have you? Supposedly co-op, multiplayer thing, which I have not seen that, because when you look at how many people you can have on a server, it only shows 4. You know, sort of thing. So yeah, so I'm just like, well, that's not how they said it. Again, multiplayer. How is it if it's only 4 people? I've messaged in the game to see if anybody would reply. There's nothing. No reply whatsoever.
Wow.
Unless it's just direct chat, maybe to, you know, to your vicinity, maybe.
I was under the false assumption that it was doing better than that, but apparently maybe not.
No, I mean, I've gone into space. I haven't seen anyone unless there's like this tutorial that we're still going through, which we have no idea is a tutorial. Even though I've got to the bit where you build a base, you have to build a base.
Sure.
And I've got four walls. There you go. There's my base. Just to see what happens.
I'm going
to
assume since you played a lot of Star Citizen that Star Citizen's a lot better.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's so much better. So much more control on your ships, what you do, where you land.
Yeah.
Go to planet, whatever, you know, sort of thing. It seems, you know, even though it is limited at the moment, planet-wise, but that won't be the case for long. Yeah, I think I'd. Star Citizen's still number one, right up there. Yeah. No Man's Sky is still down there. Killing its little hovel of No Man's Shite.
I was expecting something better too when I started it. I don't know if I was under the assumption that it was going to be that different, but I thought from what I read that the experience at the beginning was going to be a little different, but apparently it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
So I was a little disappointed. I thought maybe there'd be, except for the graphics, I was thinking like, well, isn't there something that happens that's different? I also fully expected that when you and I were to join the game that you would end up like with me or I would end up with you.
Yeah.
You know, because we're, you know, not me having to find you or you having to find me. We should have just been in the same world and then we could have like had fun together, but that didn't happen either. So
no.
Yeah. So I'm kind of disappointed. I don't know if I'd go back and mess with it too much more, you know, because of those things and the things that you mentioned. But anyway, you wanted to cover some upcoming games. By the way, I have the videos up so I can put them in.
Yeah. Ooh, nice. Yeah. So, I've heard about, Diablo's new, edition, Vessel of Hatred, which releases in October the 8th. So very soon. This week. Next week. Yeah. Which it brings a new region called Nathantu and a new Spiritborn class, which is awesome. Cool. Here's the trailer there coming in.
Yep. Are we allowed to have a trailer in the background for the people in the audio?
I mean, this trailer is awesome.
You can't always judge a book by the cinematics, but
absolutely, still. Yeah. I mean, the cinematics of the trailer looks out of this world. it's amazing. I mean, graphically, it looks fantastic. Yeah. And as you did say that, you know, it, you know, take it with a very big pinch of salt for it to look like that at all. Yeah, I think a lot of people are looking forward to this one, especially with that part coming through. I think it was a long awaited as well, wasn't it? So, yeah.
Did you play the past Diablos? Or?
I did, yeah. I haven't played Diablo 4. Why did I not do that? I think it was pre-Xbox Pass that was out, and I think everybody else was playing it. So I didn't really play. I was just watching everybody else do it.
Yeah.
Because I know if I get into it, that'll be it. Because I did that with the previous Diablo. I was just on it day in and day out. And so, I don't think my Uni tutor will let me.
I guess everything in this trailer is a cinematic. I don't see gameplay.
It is cinematic. Yes. Yeah. There is. I think.
Although it looks pretty cool either way.
It does. It does. Yeah. It's a good story looking trailer for. I think there was a trailer that had a bit of gameplay looking from it, which I think might be coming up on there if it's not the right one. Yeah. No, this isn't one because I cut it out because I didn't want people to see any gameplay of it just in case.
Did they say when this is supposed to be coming out? Or
October the 8th.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not far.
Very close. Ooh, there we go.
Ooh. Yep, October 8th.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it is. It does look really nice. Another one. Now, this is going to get people 50-50, I think. Hello, Comic. How are you? Yeah.
Hey, Comic.
Hi, it's Mother. Yeah, absolutely. We all know about that. Yeah, so the next one was, you know, 50-50 thoughts on this by quite a few people that I know. Dragon Age is getting its next installment, and this is at the end of October, the 31st, maybe for Halloween, because it was a prank, maybe a trick rather than a treat, depending on people. So this one is, what's it called? Veil Guard?
Dragon Age.
The Veil Guard. Yeah, Dragon Age, the Veil Guard. Where they are the protagonists that are defending against the evil forces in Tevinter, known for their blood magic and slavery. This game is throws out that it's a lot more action-packed, very gory, very exciting, but is not what people were expecting. People were expecting... Yeah.
Why would you, or what were they saying as far as what they were expecting?
So apparently they were expecting it to be this guy here, who is the Bloodborne, is it called?
Mm-hmm.
I'm terrible. Sorry, Scythe, if you're watching. But it was supposed to be, they had like a whole cinematic trailer of the one that's supposed to be coming out, which is supposed to be to do with the wolf. Pack and that guy with the fancy ears, but no, they completely did an over a wrap around and actually do this instead. So a lot of people kind of not happy, a bit of 50-50 on it.
I think I remember the original name was also not the
Vanguard.
It was the Wolf something.
Wolfbane was a Wolf Blood.
I don't remember exactly.
But yeah.
Yes, I couldn't understand why the change was really. I mean, I'm a big Dragon Age fan. I bought the original games long ago, but it's been so long since I've come out with a new one. So when this does come out, I'm going to be a big critic because if it isn't as good as the previous games, I'll definitely say something because it's been a very long time. I don't know why they waited so long to bring out another Dragon Age game, but it's been a very long time.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping it's going to be good. You know, I don't want to knock it yet until we really get a chance to see or play it, but I hope it's good. I hope it's good.
Absolutely. Yeah. So do I. Definitely. I mean, it's definitely not what we expected for, because I think it was even then it was a long time before they actually released the information of what it should have been, to having it as it is now, the Veil Guard. So yeah, quite a few people are upset about that. And they're like, we were looking forward to this because this was the main story. And then how are you going to change it? So, yeah, they're very unsure about why they did that or, you know, what's going to come from it.
That part of the reason why they did it was because apparently you it has something to do with the companions, like the companions that you want to travel with, that apparently you couldn't travel with as many companions, and they wanted to fix that.
Yeah.
So that the game was focused more on you fighting with the companions as opposed to maybe just yourself. So I don't know. This is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, if some of the stuff that we're seeing is game, I'm sure some of it's not gameplay, but I think a little bit of it is. I mean, it looks kind of sharp. October 31st is when it's coming out.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it only because I just love Dragon Age. But at the same time, because I love Dragon Age, it better be good.
Yeah,
I'm tired of stuff that you expect to be good, or at least good enough, and you don't get it. You know, like Star Wars Outlaws. You know,
we
all give it back to DICE. Didn't get it, and it's just, you know. And that kind of leads us into your next story.
Yeah. So yeah, I've been hearing that Ubisoft are blaming us for their downfall because we're too picky. We're too choosy. We want more. Yeah.
Sure.
We expect more, and they are delivering us 1980s style nonsense. So we're getting blamed for it. A huge plummet after that happened from their shares. That's the word. Sorry. I'm very upset with you, Ubisoft. And they charged me after I've cancelled with them. They charged me for an extra month. So I was just like, no, I'm not a happy bunny. That's not going to help you. You're going to need more than that. More than 14, 15 quid, mate. Honestly, you. So, yeah. Will it be the last of Ubisoft? Do you think they'll crash and burn?
Who knows? Well, I followed up on some of what you were talking about, and I found an article only a couple of days ago, and we had hinted before that there was shareholders on the board of directors as well as outside of the board of directors that are not happy because the stock has dropped so low. I mean, it devalued something like 60% or more, which is bankruptcy for most companies.
Yeah.
But when I saw the article and it said Ubisoft's board is launching an investigation into the company's struggles, and I'm like, ooh, okay, now they're starting to get serious. The funny thing is, I love how when serious things like this happen and all of a sudden they decide that they want to come around and start saying the so-called right things, you know, to make it sound like they've always been dedicated to this and to that, and they've always been committed to doing, you know, good for you and good, you know. And I'm like, it sounds like a bunch of horse crap to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they came out right away when this whole thing started, with this whole the whole idea of, you know, the board going after and wanting to get the company, who knows, maybe totally rearranged or whatever. And one of the first things they say is, we want to reaffirm that we are an entertainment first company, creating games for the the broadest possible audience, and our goal is not to push any specific agenda. We remain committed to creating games for fans and players that everyone can enjoy, which is the usual bull line that any company could give.
Yeah.
But let's face it, Ubisoft has been having problems for a little while now, and the stock was the last the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. Ubisoft stock went down to 11.42 euros, whereas I believe that at the height it was something like 60 or 70 euros. So,
yeah,
you can tell that's quite down. There's been various reasons for it happening. You know, of course, it's not just one thing. XDefiant that they were doing, lost a lot of its post-launch support. Dwindling number of players following the release. Star Wars Outlaw, nothing like it should be, and you and I reported on it last time with Trev. It's just bad. Their stock price is down to a 10-year low. I mean, this is bad.
It is terrible.
They basically are saying that Ubisoft Studios have been struggling due to poor management, and they want to see a change. So now you're going to have a push to the people that actually have been propping them up with their money, and saying you know you need to get some stuff straight. One of the things that I heard on the delay of Assassin's Creed Shadows, as you may know out there, it got delayed from November to February, which basically is 3 or 4 months, and counting that it's not even out yet, 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
But they said that one of the reasons was that they wanted to bring in an historian to correct the things that people were pointing out in the trailers that were not historically correct, because Ubisoft has always prided themselves on being historically correct with their Assassin's Creed game. But what they were saying was, is that I guess as a cost-cutting measure, right, mm-hmm. they did not bring the historian on until later in the process. So in other words, half the game or more had already been done based on what they probably Googled instead of getting to a real historian. And then they brought the real historian in, and then he starts going like,
What?
Yeah, exactly. So now the rumor, or actually pretty good rumor, is that they are going back right now, and they may be changing the character of Yasuki to be doing something different or to act differently or whatever, or reduce his role in the game and make the stealth character more prevalent or more upfront. So I'm sitting there going like, wow, that's a lot of stuff to go changing. And to admit that you didn't hire the historian until late is just, I mean, all this stuff is not cool. I mean, you don't do this kind of thing. You didn't do it before. You shouldn't have been doing it now. It's like those old, you know, the Mighty Fall kind of stories, you know, and it's a shame. And we end up suffering for it, because I was looking forward to this game. And I'll tell you, if this game does not come out good in February, then I think it's over. I mean, I really think it's over.
Well, this is another reason why they didn't go to the show in Japan, because they were so annoyed that they got it completely wrong. Mm-hmm. Because I think the main character was not an actual hero in real life, but I think only in comic-wise it was, which is another reason why they didn't attend. They would have got a lot of flack, which is well deserved, to be honest. Which is
there was
also a shame. Yeah,
there was a story, and you got to excuse me because I didn't read a lot of it. But basically, there was a group that said that there was something in the game that was, they felt, was a disrespect to the Japanese people, because it had something to do with the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki and so forth. And they said that this is a tie-in, and that it's something that shouldn't have been there. And I didn't think much of it originally until they started bringing up the history of it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Now I can see why they might be a little angry, you know, or so forth. So if that's supposedly all true, that's another faux pas that a historian could have pointed out, but they didn't have one, you know, until later. So I don't know, you know. Gazbeer was just writing in the chat. He was seeing there was just two of us. That's because Trev is, couldn't make it today, but he'll be back next week. So that's, you know, part of that reason in any case. Anyway, that's, I'm sure we're going to hear more about Ubisoft, and whether we're getting sick of it or not, we'll still hear more anyway.
Absolutely. I think they should have a new change of name, Ubisoft.
Well, you know what, if they end up, if this ends up being a hostile takeover kind of thing or whatever, they may have to rebrand themselves entirely. They can't really knock the
Ubisoft.
You can't really kill the entire Ubisoft name down, but they're going to have to do something, you know, to make it a little bit better. They're going to have to really try hard to get back in the good graces, because once you're at the top, which they were for years, and you fall off this badly, it's going to be even harder to recover than it was to build up to that point.
Absolutely. I think they've got a long way to go to make it up for all of it, to be honest.
I think it's a thing that's going on, as we have seen and reported by a lot of the bigger companies now all having issues. And some of the smaller guys, which is good for them, you know, will come out with games like Enshrouded and others. And that's been a bonus to show you what you can do with small groups. I mean, the groups that made Enshrouded, I think, is only a dozen people.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. And when you look at these other games that aren't even as good and they have hundreds of people, like, you just kind of shake your head a little bit. You know, Gazbeer was saying Assassin's Creed peaked at Black Flag, in my opinion.
Yeah, that was my favorite one. Loved it.
Yeah, and he was saying that he worries too much that Bethesda peaked at Skyrim and will keep sliding downwards now. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, I did like Black Flag, but I really, really liked Origins. And I liked I forgot the name of the second one that came after that. Although I saw the quality starting to take the dive a little. And then Valhalla, the quality came back up again, but they just bloated the hell out of it.
Yeah.
You know, with a whole bunch of DLCs. I think they kept thinking that, well, the more DLCs you put out, the more everybody will think they got such a great deal. Well, yeah, but if you only have like 10% of the people even finishing the game, you know.
Yeah.
What they did do correct, which was fun, is they used Vasim, which is a character in Valhalla, and they put out Assassin's Creed Mirage, which was a shorter game. But you know what? That game was a lot of fun. That game was more getting back to the roots of Assassin's Creed. Odyssey, yeah, thank you. That's what it was. So I was going like, wow, okay, so now if we're getting kind of back to what it is supposed to be, I'm expecting a game that's going to take the things that I saw that were good and newish in Mirage and transfer it over to Shadows and really make a good deal. And now I don't know what to think anymore. Mirage may have been the last good Assassin's Creed game. I don't know.
Yeah, I've been reluctant to play that one. Mirage. I've seen it in there and I was like, oh, I've got another month. Maybe I should jump on that, see what it's like.
On Mirage?
Yeah.
The good thing is, I believe it's inexpensive right now because, again, it wasn't a full-length game. It is long enough. You do get plenty of enjoyment out of it, but it wasn't as long as a typical game Assassin's Creed would be. But it got a lot of good reaction from players and the whole nine yards. So, hey, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
We had a little I'll put this up on stream. Valhalla suffered from DLC overload due to all the Viking TV series on the streaming services riding the wave and monetizing it. Yeah, that's kind of where they all go with that. I don't blame them for trying to monetize, but when you get to the point where, you know, every which way you turn your head, there's another Viking show. Mm-hmm. I like Vikings too, but there was just too many of them. And I don't want to see anymore.
Yeah.
And then to bloat your program by so much, I mean, they were saying that after all the DLCs, you would have to have a minimum of 200 hours to complete the game. And I'm sitting there going like, no one's hanging in for that long. You know, I didn't play all the DLC. I played the first couple and then I was going like, I'm done now.
Yeah.
I did it. It was fun. But, you know I didn't want to go anymore on that one. So anyway.
Yeah, the three new ones or latest ones, I should say, I have not completed at all. I think I've pretty much done 30-40% maybe of the story, and then I just gave up. It was just too much going on. I think, was it the Valhalla one where there was just too much going on? I couldn't find where I was going. Mm-hmm. And some of the parts that I was getting to was kind of repetitive. So then I was just like, I'm not doing that.
Once a Viking, always a Viking.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah.
Well, I thought the last few Assassin's Creeds, I thought Origins was excellent. That was really great. Odyssey, pretty good, but they're starting to kind of fall off the mountain at that point. Valhalla was good to a point and then kind of just got boring. Although the part that was good. I did have fun with it, but then it just kind of like Snoresville. And then Assassin's Creed Mirage was starting to come back up again and get it back to where it needed to be. And now we have no clue with the one coming out. But, well, I guess we'll see. In any case, last week, I think we told you, the week before that, we told you we played Deadlock, which is a shooter game that Valve is doing. But it's a MMORPG, whatever. Anyway, massive multiplying MMO. And we all kind of, you and I enjoyed it. Trev didn't enjoy it so much.
Yeah.
They have done some major updates to it, so we'll probably have to jump back in and play it. But one of the things that just caught my eye and I thought it was pretty funny, Valve is really trying to crack down on cheaters. And apparently they devised a system now where essentially if they catch a cheater, they turn them into a frog.
I want to cheat now.
And I'm going like, what? Wait a minute, what? So at least from what I can understand here, when a cheater is found, they turn them into frogs. But even better is they provide the other players in the match to vote on what they want to do.
Yeah.
So basically, a Counter-Strike 2 modder proved the effect in a post on X, after the change was made, was mentioned in some out of the way patch notes by a Valve developer. So the Valve developer had put it in the patch notes, but nobody really saw it at the time.
Yeah.
So essentially, you get detected as a cheater. You're given a choice between banning them or turning them into a frog for the rest of the game. I want to see this. I think it's going to be great. When you turn into a frog, you're basically just running away because everybody's going to try to get you. So I thought that was pretty hilarious that they get turned into frogs. It's something different. It's something neat. Instead of just talking about cheaters all the time and how they have anti-cheat software that doesn't really work, you know, et cetera, to actually have something where you punish the player by turning them into a frog, I thought it's great.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to see more of that.
Definitely. Oh, that'd be awesome. Thanks, Trub.
Hey, Trub. What's up?
39 months. Which you're gonna see.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Let's see. I'm going to go to... let me jump to Starfield. I don't know why, but I am jumping to Starfield. Starfield is getting an overhaul. Apparently a big overhaul, but it is, again, more on the case of the modders that are doing it. Shattered Space is going to come out, their DLC, which is going to improve on some stuff. But this particular thing I'm talking about on the big overhaul is coming from a modder. So this is kind of like my mod corner thing again. Basically, from what I'm understanding or whatever, the guy went in and actually overhauled a lot of stuff, even down to the battle and stuff, so forth. So it's going to include planets and biomes that'll all be overhauled, which is part of what people didn't like about Starfield because he didn't like have it. They're going to be introducing all types of atmospheres and weather changing. There were some pictures that were put up from it that looked pretty gorgeous. So this is something that might interest people out there if they're playing the game. This mod's going to be available on Nexus Mods. So you can take a look at that and see what you think about it. It's also going to come to Xbox via the Creation Club. So you actually can mod your console, which isn't always, you know, PCs are always been able to mod easily. Mm-hmm. So to allow the Xbox players to mod too is a pretty big deal. So obviously they think a lot of the mod. So they're basically calling it Planets and Biomes Overhaul. That'll be the name. So look for that if you're wanting to try the mod out in Starfield and see how it is. Starfield definitely needs mods because Bethesda basically gave up and just let the fans, you know,
make the game for them.
Do whatever they can to it since they forgot everything on purpose. You know, so check that out. I think you might like that. I know I bring this up a lot, and I'm not trying to sound like a broken record on this, but a couple of the games that are modded the most, of course, is Skyrim. Skyrim has thousands and thousands of mods. But ever since CD Projekt Red released their modding kit for Witcher, people are really going crazy on making mods for Witcher 3. And apparently there's another mod. They're calling it a next-gen mod overhaul. They improved the combat. They improved the animations. They improved the targeting. They added in new dodging mechanics. They are now making things more dynamic when there's attacks going on. Things will be based more on situation and enemy type, enemy count, distance, direction. So this is all stuff that, you know, is more what we're used to in the modern age, and they're applying that all to Witcher 3. So they even were talking about the dodging mechanics being something that you have to unlock. So you'd be able to do different types of dodging enemies or dodging projectiles and stuff. So it really sounds like they've done a lot. And this might be a mod that'd be very interesting to drop into the game to make it, you know, like new again. They also wanted to make a really strong honorable mention, a couple other mods that you might want to think about putting in besides this particular one. You can download a cool mod called First Person Mod. So you couldn't play first person in Witcher 3 originally. And I hear that it works very, very well. Characters Rework Project improves on the quality of over 100 characters in the game. So that's a big overhaul right there. It also has a mod called lets you kill most in-game NPCs.
Sometimes so you got to.
Apparently,
unless you wish you could.
You can do as much as you want. No problem. Keep a tally going.
Yeah.
They said that apparently they have a mod that restored boat races and added 15 new quests. I'm going like, I'm trying to think the boat races. I don't know if I even remember that. Maybe that's why. So apparently this mod is restoring boat races that were meant to be in the game or were taken out. I'm not really sure. 15 new quests is interesting because I don't know if it was, it doesn't really say whether it was 15 new quests that were cut from the game that they put back or whether they just created the quests. And I'm really curious because, you know, when you make a new quest, you got to have some writing to back it up and, you know, and so forth. So I really want to see what people are doing when it comes to the writing of these things.
Yeah.
There's also a mod that apparently restores content that was cut from all previous Witcher games, which is kind of interesting. They also said that there's a mod for Witcher 3 that allows you to ride a griffin, which you couldn't do before. And they also said that they're adding parts of a map that come from The Witcher 1. So they took the maps from Witcher 1, made them look a lot better, and actually dropped them into Witcher 3 for you to be able to mess with. Also, there's going to be there is a mod that adds ray tracing fire effects to the global illumination.
Illumination, yeah.
And it's going to fix ray tracing, bleach issues, etc. So it never had ray tracing. Now it's going to be instituted. So it's almost like a new game, I mean, with everything that you can do to it. So yeah. I'm kind of looking forward to messing around with it as soon as I get through all these other games we have to do.
Yeah.
Which gets to be a lot.
Quite a few, yeah.
Did you play Witcher 3 when it came out?
I played a little bit of it, not very much. I think there was something missing with it. And I tell you what, if those mods were there when I had a go at it, I think I'd be more interested in it. Especially with the dodging mechanics as well and doing it in first person. That'd be awesome.
Oh, now it's cheap. You can get a hold of it and load these mods.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to. Oh, definitely.
Well, I just want to let you know that we're getting down to the end. We're not going to do the quiz. And the only reason we're not going to do the quiz is because
I know all the answers.
Matt'll be the only one to guess them when you kind of like, might be better to have at least two people trying to guess it. So we're going to hold off the gaming quiz, EGP gaming quiz, till next time. In any case, but we hope you enjoyed the show. Check out some of the games that we're playing. If you want to make any kind of questions or whatever, whether it be gaming or hardware or whatever, just get a hold of our Discord, discord.gg/extremegamingpodcast, and we'll be glad to say hello to you. A few people joined last week. And if you want to join up, please do. And you can talk to any one of us. In our Discord, we do talk about games. We talk about PC hardware. We also talk about entertainment, Star Trek, and then just other things in general. And you'll catch us off and on in different gaming rooms playing some stuff. We've been playing Once Human. We've been playing the No Man's Sky and a couple other games. So you can catch us in there and talk to us as well. So in any case, again, glad you could be around. And Matt, I appreciate you coming on and doing everything. And
we had a
good time.
Yeah.
So we will tell you goodbye, and we will see you next week on Extreme Gaming Podcast. So take care, everybody.
Take care and enjoy the DLC.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.